Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm not sure what to do. I mean, I'm being cornered by these two women, and they are livid. This is not a comfortable situation. I'm like ignoring it, trying to ignore it, just make dinner. Like, I don't even know what to say. I didn't think I could interact with people.
But they can still like you.
Yeah, that's why I said I should delete the app.
I asked you to do that months ago, and you wouldn't do it.
What, did I say I wouldn't do it?
Yeah. You were like, why? We're going to be searching for other wives.
Well, I thought...
And now you're just like, oh, no problem, I'll delete it.
I didn't disagree with you.
You did disagree with me.
Take away all our information?
And I said, yes, it will. We can create a new profile when we're searching for a wife again.
No, I mean, it's no...
What? An understanding, please.
I mean, I said that to him in Colorado, and he disagreed with me. But as soon as Natalia says it, it's like, no problem. It's like, what? Like, it feels like a huge lack of respect. It does not feel good at all.
To another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry. We have a lot to talk about this week. It was a dramatic episode of Seeking Sister Wife, so I would say we would just get into it, but actually we can't because in case you missed it, you guys, I was finally able to drop the merch. It's officially out. You can check out the link in the episode description. It's in my link tree. If you want me to say it, it's ebbmmerch.myshopify.com. Plug, plug, plug. Check it out. More designs to come in the semi-near future, you know, like spring, summer-ish. I'm excited, and I hope you guys like it too. Thank you guys to y'all who have already purchased. Like, y'all really showed up and showed out. Shout out to y'all. So thank you in advance for those of you who are interested. I love the stuff. I have, like, I'm ordering multiple samples of my shit. I'm like, I love this. I'm feeling like Kanye. When Kanye, well, not like current Kanye. We'll talk like 10, 15 years ago when he would say that he listens to his own music because it's so good. I'm like, yeah, I feel that. That's unwell of me. I could delete this, but I'm not going to. Anyway, let's get into Seeking Sister Wife. We're going to start with our newest couple, Becky and Justin. I'm calling Becky Tenacious B. But actually, we need to get into some backstory, because I saw online, I was doing my Googles, and y'all found out who Tenacious B's stepdaddy is, and reverse. So, as it turns out, oh Lord, so remember when she did her little intro, Tenacious B told us that her father was a pastor, and he taught as part of his ministry that polygamy was an option, right? So, turns out her stepdaddy, I don't know about her biological father, but her stepdaddy is a man named Tony Alamo. You may have heard that name before, but if you didn't, I'm just going to give you a little quick bite, and then we're just going to move on to her storyline, because Tony Alamo was a televangelist. He started in the 60s based on a quick skim of his backstory, because once I read what he was accused of, I didn't really want to know. But very quickly, he started his ministry in the 60s. He was like basically emotionally manipulating people from the start, saying that God lived within him. And then if he was not able to speak the gospel, that he would die. So basically, you're telling people, you know, if I'm not able to preach, I will be murdered by Jesus. I mean, that doesn't even really make sense, you guys. Like, come on. That doesn't even make sense. So anyway, this man apparently had in addition to a willingness to... The man was a pedophile, okay? He was having all these quote-unquote spiritual wives, spiritual brides or whatever, that were as young as 8 years old. And I know your next question is going to be, did he? And yeah, allegedly he did. So fuck that man, monster. And Becky, I would have maybe kept this shit out, but you know what? Clearly this bitch is so indoctrinated that... we're not on the same wavelength. You know what I mean? Like, that's clear. Because the scene with them this week starts out with her sitting at her desk or sitting in the living room with some bullshit machine saying that her career is in preventative healthcare. A term that sounds really great, but that you gotta ask those people, okay, be more specific. What is it that you do? Because there could really be a spectrum, you know? And Becky's on one side of the spectrum, and it's not the one that I would be running to. I'll say that. Apparently, she's got this little machine that scans people's antioxidant levels, and so she's making Justin hold his hand on this thing while she scans it. I guess you can scan the antioxidant levels of your body through your palm. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. But I don't think Becky is either. So Becky even says Justin totally bought into this, because what happened was she told him about this little scanning machine. He was like, girl, what the hell are you talking about? She hopped him up on a bunch of supplements. His levels went up on the machine. And so now he's like, oh, okay, I believe you. Yeah. God, Justin does construction. We don't need to get into that. They're basically just killing time before they have to go hang out with, well, have to go. They go on their first date with Desiree, or they think they're going to, right? They have a 2 o'clock date. 2 o'clock. I know that they got like hella kids, but y'all gotta meet in situations. Like, maybe the reason why y'all are flopping is that you're meeting people in the goddamn middle of the day. Nobody wants to think about entering into a plural marriage at 2 o'clock at a fucking boba place. I don't. Like, maybe I'd be more into it. Like, let me get a little bit through my day. Let me process things. Let me finish up my work. Maybe at like 7 o'clock, you can circle back on whether or not I'd be open. But at 2 o'clock, like, and then, because you got to think about it. Like, I'm like starting my day thinking about like, gotta like do all this. That's a lot of pressure. Let me check some things off my list before we go into this date. Start meeting people at sexy times, at open for polygamy times of the day. I just don't think 2 o'clock is it. I mean, clearly it's not. I think 2 o'clock at a boba shop, honestly, like, it is a perfect place for plural couples, but established ones, not ones that are just getting going, you know? Like, these squishmallows are all over. They seem to be the main decor in this place. So it's like children and people seeking out plural, or not even seeking, in established plural relationships. I feel like that's the clientele of a boba place in, like, where are they, Texas? Yeah. Anyway, so Becky, they walk into this boba tea shop. Becky looks like she's going to or coming from a wedding. They both do, actually. Like, she's in a burgundy, and it's got, like, a little keyhole, like, a little sexy, like, you know, you get a little front titty moment, you know, just, like, a little, like, the front part, this little cleavage, you know, and just a little peek, and it's, like, ankle-length dress. Like, girl, what time? Again. The neck up was 2 o'clock at a boba shop. Not a lick, not a stitch of makeup. Just barely ran a comb through that hair. Like, not even cowlick be damned. Great. Just put on some Vaseline, call it a day. You know what? I'm rocking that most of the time. Okay? Make no mistake. Make no mistake. Not a makeup girly. But, you know, after this is, like, cocktail hour. This is, like, cocktail hour at, like, a pretty decent wedding. I'm just very confused. And I also think, like, yeah, maybe you guys just need to have, like, maybe a little bit more, just have a little meeting and really strategize, like, what it is that you guys are going to do. Because even though you say that you've been seeking for, like, years, it's just giving very novice. Very novice. Anyway, so Jerry. I might just call him Jerry. Like, he's much more of a Jerry than a Justin. Yeah. Jerry, he's starting to get nervous. Like, they got their little boba tea, and he's, like, looking around, nervous that Desiree's not going to show up. So he asked Becky, do you think that I should call her? Do you think I should, like, text her right now, see if she's coming? And Becky looks at her phone. She goes, Jerry, it's 2:01. Like, give her a minute, okay? So Jerry says in a confessional, their last girlfriend, the girl that's been blurred out last episode, Stephanie, they thought that they had, like, that situation. He says in a confessional, Stephanie had everything that any man, I mean, any couple would want. And then he goes, you know, I'm sure we could find somebody who would be willing to do a one-night stand or something, but we're not after that. Becky then says, yeah, we're looking for a long-term relationship, a real life partner. Jerry clearly wants a one-night stand. Like, that is something that you're open for, but I'm not even sure that you could get that. Anyway, so they're just, like, sitting there. There's a little squishmallow, little teddy bear in between them. You would think that they were on the awkward date. They're, like, not making eye contact with each other. Just kind of, like, tapping their feet. Like, well, you think she's going to come? Ding, ding, ding. Justin gets a notification on his phone. And he goes, oh, she just texted. And then he starts reading his phone. And he just starts laughing. And he goes, well, I think she's chickening out. So Becky goes, oh, we're about to get stood up, aren't we? I think you just did. Justin reads out the message. I appreciate the offer and everything. I just have to protect my family in this. I just can't take that chance. I'm sorry again to go back on things, but I hope you guys find somebody truly interested. So Becky asks Justin, do you want to reply? Do you want to say something like, oh, I completely understand? And he's just like, do you want to get out of here? And Becky goes, no. And he goes, well, she's not coming. So then Becky goes, okay, do you not want to reply? And he goes, no, not right now. Just like, you know, another girl that was just so gung-ho about wanting to meet us. And then she just backs out. I'm like, well, she wasn't that gung-ho, like, at all. And if you had talked to her, you would have known that. Becky says in a confessional, it's very sad, but you just have to think positive. So they get in the car, and Justin says, you know, it just reminds me of Stephanie. And then he says, you know, she said that being with us is like coming out as gay in the 1950s. And Becky goes, I never heard her say that. And Justin goes, well, she told me that. Did she, Jerry? I don't know. Becky says in a confessional that they're having the same issue with Desiree as they did with Stephanie, but they were hoping that, like, with Stephanie, maybe she'll see the light of day and come back. So when they get back to the house, they go to the refrigerator to crack open an ice-cold poppy. And Becky says that basically she's been trained all her life to just look at the bright side of life and always look for the silver lining. So she says, you know, I just feel like if we didn't try, like, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take, or whatever that bullshit saying is, right? So then she says in a confessional, I truly believe that there is somebody out for that, for us, and that's what keeps me going. I have faith in that. So Becky looks at Justin and goes, well, what do you want to do? And he goes, oh, let's go chill. And he, like, you know, they got their little poppies in one hand and taking each other's hand in the other. They're going back to the bedroom to make baby number 7. And thanks a lot, Desiree. Now I gotta get pregnant again. Jeez. Probably. They have a child for every failed sister wife that they had. So then Justin, Jerry, whoever the fuck says, you know what? At the end of the day, the only thing you can do is love the ones you have. And, you know, I have Becky. She works hard and she plays hard. And then he closes the bedroom door, and I guess that's where Becky gets to work. Or play. All right, let's move on. All right, let's continue with Ashley and Shane, a.k.a. Fred and Wilma Flintstone. So Ashley's ready to move forward. Like, last week when she was talking about, well, I'm basically crowning at this point. Maybe I should take a pause on dating. Nope. Full speed ahead. She's now waddling. You know, her hips are getting bigger or whatever happens. You know, they're widening. Whatever happens when you're about to give birth. This bitch is ready to go. She's firing on all cylinders, okay? So she goes on a date with this chick named Sarah. She says that they met on social media. They haven't really talked too much, but she's getting the vibe that Sarah's, like, young, foxy, fun-spirited, all this stuff, right? The fact that this woman is waddling, and I really mean waddling, into a date from a doctor's appointment checkup for her baby to have a bowl of soup by the lake with this woman, she's incredible. Like, she's really a baddie. I barely want to go on a date while I'm on my period. Here she is, 3 inches, you know, 3 centimeters dilated, and ready for love. Sarah's got an 8-year-old, so they're kind of vibing on being mothers, and Sarah tells us that she really likes dating men more, but, you know, she does like the fact that Ashley's a mom, and as far as Ashley being pregnant, you know, it's interesting. So Sarah asks her, what are your hobbies, right? Typical first date question. Ashley tells her, oh, you know, I really love competitive axe throwing. That's how I met my husband. And she goes, oh, I bet you're not doing that these days. And Ashley goes, oh, no, no, no. We have an axe throwing league every Wednesday right now. So Ashley tells us that compared to Grace and her eyebrows, this is a much more relaxed situation. She's feeling her. She's actually attracted to her. So then Ashley asks Sarah, what are you looking for? Sarah tells us she's dated couples before. Like, she's not new to this. She's true to this. She's tried basically it all. But then I got distracted because the camera panned down while they were talking. And I think in an effort for TLC to display to us that there's not only, like, a natural chemistry, but a sexual chemistry between Ashley and Sarah, they panned down to their legs. First of all, why were they wearing the same outfit, basically? These, like, floral maxi dresses with the cork wedges. But they're showing that, like, Ashley's cork wedge is a little close to Sarah's cork wedge. Like, you know, the sexual tension is real high right now. Sarah tells Ashley that the sexiest thing someone can be is kind. And Ashley's like, oh, I got goosebumps. Do you see them? I just got lost in you saying that. That was so beautiful, Sarah. So Sarah asks Ashley, what are you looking for? Like, in the stages of dating, like, what's your future? And Ashley's like, oh, you know, that's such a great question. I just want things to develop naturally between us and then get comfortable. And then Shane can, you know, hop in. And then she says, you know, Shane and I are legally married. Obviously, she's not going to be doing bigamy, but she does want to have, like, an emotional, spiritual bonding ceremony with her next partner where it's like a marriage, right? So then Ashley tells us that there were times when she was dating Grace where she felt like she kind of had to convince her about the dynamic that she's looking for. But Sarah's already, like, good to go, coming into it like-minded, right? Sarah tells us that she's gone on dates with other couples, but she's never dated just the girl. But, and I quote, "I'm going to give it the good old college try." So Ashley's, like, really excited. Like, Sarah has agreed to meet Shane. She's so pumped. And also, she says, you know, there is, like, a sexual attraction here. And I'm realizing that this is what it's supposed to be like. So when they say goodbye, Ashley's like, "Hey, girl, can I give you a little kiss?" She's like, mm-hmm. Sparks are flying, I guess. So Ashley is skimping back as much as she can to tell Fred, you know, the date went great. There was great chemistry. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I can tell. I can see it must have gone really well by your body language." At this point, you could tell his mouth is getting tighter and tighter. Like, this man does not want to. He's saying that he does. I'm seeing he's wearing the little upside-down pineapple shirt, the international sign for swingers, which is a different thing. Not polygamy. But anyway, so he's, I think, happy, but not quite, right? So he's like, "Well," he tells us in a confessional, "I can't tell you how relieved I am to hear that Sarah would be okay with meeting me, because that doesn't put any red flags in my mind like Grace did. And that's exciting for me, because that's how I know that Sarah knows that I'm an integral part of Ashley's life." But then Wilma tells Fred, "I kissed Sarah." And he goes, "Excuse me? You kissed?" And she says, "Yeah, I kissed her." He goes, "You kissed her?" And then things kind of switch up, because Shane says in a confessional, "You know, I'm a little surprised that she made the first move, only because she was so reluctant with Grace, but maybe that goes back to her feeling like she was walking on eggshells with her."
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This shirt, it really cracked me up. So then Ashley talks about all the positives of the date, like the fact that Sarah's got a kid, so they can relate on that level. And Sarah's already been in non-traditional relationships before. So she tells him, "We've not officially set a date because she's going to Florida with her family," which feels like an excuse, but, you know, maybe it's true. But they have, like, agreed to make plans for a second date when she gets back. So Shane says in a confessional that if Ashley were to pull away in any way, shape, or form, and he felt threatened, he would have to tell her. But hopefully she would be understanding, but there's always that unknown risk. So more on that later. All right, let's move on to Slick Nick and Wilson Phillips. If you guys forgot, last we left off, Danielle, with a mouthful of salad, ran back into the house after their, like, steak night because she didn't want to answer a question of, like, "Girl, what's wrong? Why did you leave?" So Nick is chasing after her, his amulet just slapping against his chest. One thing about Nick, he keeps an amulet on him, okay? A big old rock with sterling silver or some sort of precious metal surrounding it. If you don't see it, check under the shirt to see if there's not, like, a protrusion happening. He keeps that thing on him, okay? So he's chasing after Danielle. Jennifer, like, he gets her to come back inside, right? Like, or outside, rather. Jennifer asks her, "What about dating is a concern with you? Because, like, we can only help you with what it is, like, we have to understand the root of the issues for us to be able to, like, understand and help you, right? So Danielle says that it can just be, like, a challenge, and she's still processing this whole situation herself. April tells her, listen, I understand your insecurities, like, where it comes to me and Jenny. Like, I understand where that comes into play. I can understand you're new, but we love you. We consider you as a wife. You're just as much as my wife as Jenny is, and I don't want to raise Vera without you. So Danielle says, but I think, like, it's just difficult. Like, Danielle, poor thing, she's always processing, and it just seems like the processor is just, it just, there's like a lag, you know what I mean? It just seems like a little overwhelming for her at all times. So basically she tells them, you guys, this is not just my first poly relationship. This is my first relationship, period. Other than that, I was just dating casually here and there. But here's the thing. I've never questioned your love. It breaks my heart to think about us not being together. But, like, sometimes I do need a break. But I didn't mean to cause any harm. I just feel like sometimes I allow my emotions to take over. And instead of, you know, signing a lease on a new apartment every time I feel some type of way, maybe I should just open it up and we could handle things together as opposed to me alone in my apartment. It was at this point that I realized that they were all wearing matching black. And you know what? Slick Nick and Wilson Phillips is a perfect name for these people because they do look like a singing group. It's giving. So then Danielle tells us in a confessional that those few days where she was in that apartment by herself were the worst days of her life. And it was super eye-opening and humbling, and it made her realize who really is there for her. And after that, it was just obvious that she didn't want to be anywhere but in that 12-foot-long bed with the three of those adults. And maybe another one or two to come soon. But then she says, but also the thought of dating another woman is pretty scary. So Nick tells her, like, you really need to be assured that the next person that we pick for this family is going to be very specific to us. I'm not just going to allow somebody to run up in this house and mess up our situation. April tells her that, you know, that as far as, like, her and Jen wanting somebody else to come in, that's just the type of family that they want. Like, this is a non-negotiable. April's trying to tell her gently, girl, don't think that you're going to come back into this family and be like putting your foot down here respectfully. Love you, sis, but ain't no changing here, okay? Not for me and the other one. So a producer asked Danielle, do you love them? And she goes, I do. I do a lot, but I guess that's the scary thing about love. What is she, 24? That's such a 24-year-old thing to say. I'm just terrified. It's so scary. So then we have Nick, April, and Jennifer, and Nick's big-ass cartoon shoes all together in a confessional. Clearly, like, the production level, could we have told you guys to spread out on the couch? Because literally, like, clearly, they just made her get up, Danielle. But, like, let's spread out a little bit. You know, just it just looks better. Anyway, I'm just nitpicking. So they have them on the couch, and Nick says, I love Danielle very much, but I actually didn't see this coming at all. Like, at all. So now I'm kind of up in the air with what could possibly happen. So after that, Nick has a one-on-one. They go to a smoothie shop. A lot of very specific drink beverages. A lot of deep conversations happening over specific types of beverages in this episode. So they go to a smoothie place. He gets a strawberry. She gets a mango. And I feel like that's important to note. And he tells her, you know, he tells us, I haven't had time to talk to Danielle one-on-one. She's still got the lease on that apartment. And I'm thinking, of course she does. It's been like 5 days since she signed the lease to begin with. Danielle tells us, listen, on the one hand, it's a lot less pressure to have a one-on-one as opposed to, you know, addressing the tribal council of our relationship. But on the other hand, I just moved back in and, like, things are still a little bit weird at the house. So Nick tells her, look, I can totally understand because I've had this whole thing going with April and Jennifer for a while. Like, we're kind of in lockstep with one another. Maybe you're not quite feeling that way yet because it's still new for you. Essentially, she's baby, right? And she's like, wah, 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 I agree, right? just because everything that's established, like, I don't want to stir the pot. I don't want to mess things up. But now that I'm in the mix, maybe how things worked before aren't going to work the same way now. Only at this point does it seem to click with Slick Nick that it probably is going to be pretty difficult to add another person because of the fact that it was so easy with April and Jennifer. So Nick tells her, like, I'm sorry if you feel like you can't speak up for yourself, and, like, moving forward, we're going to start taking you more into consideration. The way he talks to her is, like, truly like a corporation or like a small business. Like, he and April and Jennifer have been doing their thing at, like, the printing press for a while. They decided to add a new employee. And it's just like, you know, there's tension over the shared refrigerator and the break room. And the boss is close with everybody and he really wants everybody to be so happy. So he's like, you know what? I'll just go out for a quick smoothie. I'll take you to Planet Smoothie. We can hash things out because I don't want you to quit, girl. We want you in this corporation. So what can we do moving forward to make sure that you're happy? So Danielle tells him that basically everybody needs to take into consideration that things look different for everybody, but she also kind of slides in there, I want to have the power of veto. You know, like, if we start dating, we start seeking people, and all three of y'all like her, and it's a yes across the board, but I'm not into it, like, I need that to be listened to, okay? I don't know if Nick heard that. He certainly didn't respond to it, and I think that that might be an issue coming up later. So he basically is like, well, now that I have you by myself, I just want to tell you that April also feels pretty impacted on, like, a very deep level. And he says something, you know, again, this was why it feels like very corporate. He says, you know, while everybody was upset about Danielle leaving, it has really impacted April the most. I'm like, not you? Okay, that's interesting. But then he tells her, like, mostly April's upset about the kids and the lease that she still has and feels very, like, on shaky ground with her and feels like, girl, like, you could leave anytime because you got a place to go to. You got your name on a lease, so we need more of a commitment from you. All right, y'all, let's move on to our faves. Joel Osteen and Slackshaw, a.k.a. Garrick and Danielle. Oh, my gosh. Mess. So it's the next morning, right? They're all making breakfast. It seems okay at first. Joel is gleefully speaking his broken English at Natalia as they're making the breakfast. Apparently, Natalia, I guess, is not really a chef. I don't know. But we find out where Joel is planning on having his next passport stamped. Because once he locks in the Brazilian, apparently we're going over to France. Wow. So he says to the translator app to Natalia, so you and sister are going to look for a chef wife from France? And Natalia says, I don't think we need to run after another French wife immediately. You could just keep buying food. Work, bitch. This is a 25-year-old that I can stand behind. I love her. Meanwhile, Danielle's putting on her makeup in the bathroom. I don't know. It more seemed like she was just, like, dry brushing her face. I don't know if she's just, like, punishing herself just to feel something. But anyway, she's putting on her makeup in the bathroom, and a producer is asking her, how do you feel? And she says, you know, I'm just a little bit overwhelmed. And then she starts tearing up and says, you know, because Roberta hurt us bad. You know, Garrick's going to propose, and I'm going to give her a sister necklace. And Roberta took all those things, but never really followed through with any of it. It's just scary how much people can hurt you. And then Slackjaw tells us that while they were getting ready for breakfast, Natalia asked her for a one-on-one conversation without Joel Osteen, right? So she says, I'm surprised because I can kind of feel like she can sense my feelings, and that scares me at the same time because I feel like it's going to irritate Garrick. Correct. Because I feel like he's wanting to move forward, but I'm not really fully feeling ready. It's just not right yet. Correct. So before the conversation, Natalia tells us that she just, like, understands that there might be a sense of like moving a little too quickly in the relationship because of the fact she's in another country already. So she wanted to talk to Danielle alone to see if this is really what she wants in her life. Because sometimes she's getting the vibe that like Danielle might really be going through it. What's tipping you off, Natalia? Is it the crying? Is it the jaw? Is it the tension? The fact that she's trying to throw any obstacle in the way in order to keep you from getting married to her husband? Ex-husband, technically? You think that might be it? What are you picking on up on, Natalia? Let us know. So they sit down and Slackjaw's like, oh, how are you doing so far? And Natalia fires up that translator app to be like, do you have doubt about me being the right person? Or do you have doubts about really being in this lifestyle you want to live? So Danielle tells her, I think the doubts are coming to play because Roberta was part of our life for 3.5 years. So after breaking up with Roberta, it was hard. And then Natalia's app says, I still wonder if you are really over the jealousy. I want to know how you feel, seeing how close I am with Garrick these days. So Danielle says, I'm just feeling nervous and afraid. Like, it's a big step to move forward, and it's a big decision to make our family join together. Like, we've got children, and I just want to make sure this is something that you could really see yourself committing to for the rest of your life. And Natalia's like, that's not a problem for me. I am in love with Garrick. I need to know if this is really what you want, because it really has a big impact on my life. I'm going to make a big change to have to live with you. Danielle says, I want you to understand that I think we're all going to be making sacrifices, and I think we'll all have struggles, and we'll all have to work through things, which does not answer the question, and yet it does, you know? But Natalia was trying to tell you, like, yeah, you're saying that you're worried about me committing to your family. I'm telling you, I'm worried about you, girl, because ain't no problem over here. You're the one shaking and crying, not me. So what's good, sis? You good? And then things really get turned up because at this point, Garrick and his little flip-flops kick on in and being like, what's going on, guys? And Slackjaw says, oh, you know, she just senses that I'm not happy. Garrick looks confused, but what's new, right? Natalia says, I don't feel safe being in a polygamous relationship knowing that you still feel afraid. And so Garrick looks over at Slackjaw and goes, so you told her you're afraid? And Danielle goes, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. And she tells the translator app, I did not say that I was afraid to Natalia. So Natalia says, you told me you were afraid, that you feel a little afraid because of everything that happened with Roberta. So now Joel Osteen looks like he just got slapped in the face. Like, he cannot even look at Slackjaw in the eyes. Once she reveals, like, oh, yeah, I did say that. So, oops. So then Joel is like in a whirlwind of confusion, you know, more than he already is normally. I don't understand. I wasn't here for the whole conversation, Danielle. So was that all you said? And so Danielle says, what do you mean? And Joel goes, well, you told me you were 100% and you've known Natalia as my wife and will be my wife. So now Danielle's in a confessional, sobbing. All I was trying to do was express how I feel about things. And I know that Natalia is not Roberta. It's just when you trust someone with all your heart and they trample it. I've just never had that feeling before, ever. And that's devastating. Like, it was just so hard for me to get a divorce, but I did it because I trusted that she loved me and that she cared about me and she wouldn't hurt me, and she did. I mean, hold on. Time out here. I'm sorry. You've never had your heart broken like this, babe. You're having your heart broken like this every fucking day. Damn near every hour. Every time a man hears the Holy Ghost, you get your heart broken because he pulls you into some fuckery. And you say, like, it was your idea. It wasn't. It wasn't. But we'll get in more into my theory in a second. So, listen, like, I understand that Roberta did play the fuck out of you guys, but, like, why don't you have this energy for Joel Osteen? You know what I mean? Like, is he now responsible for any of this? No care. It seems like he doesn't check in on you about how you feel. Obviously, this is an intentional thing that he does, because then he would have to listen to you say that you actually don't really want to do this and you don't feel good about it. So he just doesn't ask you. So then he sits there looking like a fucking dumbass, being like, oh, what's going on? Like, he has no clue that you're miserable. Babe, he's breaking your heart, not Roberta. So back to the conversation. Natalia says in English, is she feeling sad? Like, Danielle, are you feeling sad? And both of them are like, no, no. Garrick says in a confessional, at this moment, I'm torn because, you know, Danielle is scared and struggling probably from the hurt with Roberta. But at the same time, I feel like God promised our family more than just Danielle. Jesus Christ. I mean, I had a vision years ago that I had 5 wives and it was good. So this isn't making me too happy, especially when I'm getting ready to propose here soon. So yeah, I don't know what to do at the moment. So Natalia's translator says, I think it may take more time to move forward with this relationship so that Danny can feel more comfortable and free from all this fear. She's eating Danielle up with every line that translator says. So of course now Joel has a response for that. And he's like, no. Like, I think it's normal for her to go through a time with a new relationship because, you know, if you don't believe in God, you're going to lose out on your blessings if you live in fear. And then he looks at Danielle and he goes, right? And she just nods her head like, sure, Garrick. So Natalia says, you told me that God spoke to you, but I don't think God would like to see Danny unhappy. Booped. And Slack looks over at her and goes, yeah. And then Joel says, well, I don't think Danielle's unhappy, just certain moments. You know, mind you, he really could just ask her because she's quite literally sitting in between the middle of them while they're talking about Danielle. So then Natalia says again to Joel, can you just give me a minute alone with Danny? So Joel gets up, but he says, as he's walking away, I don't know what the heck is going on. So Natalia says, girl, I want to know if you're really interested in the lifestyle or if you're only doing it because Garrick wants to. And Danielle says, no. I'm not doing this just because of Garrick. I know 100% that God did this in our life. I was the one who suggested living this way to Garrick, and I know that God wanted it. He obviously continued to bring it up throughout our lives. I don't know if that's true, Danielle. I really think that if we were to look back at the origin story to this, it was probably like, what have a lot of like conservative religions call like a porn addiction, you know, like she probably saw him looking at porn a little bit one too many times. Like, why do you keep going to the Brazilian category, Joel? And so she was like, you know what? I just am going to give up the ghost and tell him that like the wind, AKA Jesus Christ himself, told me that you need to have all these wives. And then how all of a sudden did he like, you know what? I heard it too. And five, I think it's five. And we're just going to gather them up around the country, like, or around the world, really, like the United Colors of Benetton. And like, here we go to Brazil, Paris, London, Istanbul, not Constantinople. And we'll just see what happens there. Like, sir, this is giving, like, at what point are we going to call time out? Like, what are the actual, what constitutes human trafficking? You know, what constitutes sex tourism? You know what I mean? Cause like, you just can't just pop a flower ring on any woman that you want to fuck and be like, oh, my wife. Call her sister. Give her a necklace that says sister on it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I don't know. So Natalia says in a confessional, I understand it more as like a calling of from God from their life. Like, I know that that's what they're telling me, but even if I think that this is also a calling from God, I don't know if God wants Danielle to be as sad as she is. You know, I'm not Roberta. I'm a different person. And unfortunately, I can't do anything about that. You know, like they have to be able to overcome the situation. And I can't suffer the consequences for something that I didn't do. You're damn right, Natalia. You're absolutely fucking right. Then she says, you know, I feel like there's never a really good time to start another relationship, but I do feel like we have to walk forward in faith. I feel like God brought you into our life, our lives, and you're supposed to be a wife, and that God told Garrick and I that we just have to trust, and we need to be able to move forward and, you know, live with what God has in our future and in our life together as a family. And then, after she lets out this big lie, because she knows she does not want Natalia to be his sister, she just goes, it's like her body just completely betrayed her. Cap girl. So Natalia says in a confessional, you know, I got worried because at first everything seemed fine. Danny seemed very secure of everything that was happening. But then I just found things to be strange. Like, I didn't understand it when she started talking about being afraid. And I knew she felt everything, like, a little bit bad about what happened with Roberta. But she tells us, Slapjaw mentioned this Roberta trust stuff, like, months ago and not ever again until now. So she's a little bit confused, right? She's like, it's strange. Now that we're together, after that connection, like, I'm a little bit worried about whether she'll ever be able to get over everything that happened with Roberta. So then Slackjaw goes to tell Joel, you know, we had this talk. I feel like Natalia is very wise and mature, but she positions it to him as though Natalia was the one who was having a hard time with this situation. She's so young and really inexperienced, and we're just gonna have to work through it. Like, she is so I've been saying this over the years, the way that Danielle calculates things is so funny to me, because she does not want to get her hands dirty. She does not want it to get back to Garrick that she's like causing doubt and stuff, because she doesn't want to be the issue, right? But she doesn't want this. So now she's like, thank God that we had this one-on-one conversation, because now I can just tell this idiot that I'm not married to anymore that, like, she's the one having issues. And you know what? The translator app isn't going to betray me at all, right? Right? I think, you know, another thing that really pisses me off is that it's clear to me that they think that these women are stupid just because they aren't American and don't speak English, which is, like, laughable, obviously. And like, she's really met her match with Natalia. Like, I'm gonna tell you right now, Natalia is going to outwit, outlast, and outsmart Danielle. I'm not sure if she's gonna stay in this relationship. I don't know if she's that dumb, but she's going to win in some way. I will say that. So then Joel says in a confessional, you know, when Danielle said she was afraid, I mainly thought, oh, great, this is not a good situation. And then he rolls his eyes. And then he says, the reason why is because it doesn't seem like they're on the same page. And he's like a little bit uneasy, like, is there a problem? Is there something wrong? Gosh, I wonder if you could just simply ask your wife. But that would be a little too much like right, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it, Joel? So then Slackjaw says in a confessional that opening up her feelings with Natalia makes her scared, because she's sensing, Natalia is sensing her feelings. She's reading her emotions pretty darn well, and she's getting nervous that it's going to hinder how she responds to Garrick. And when he proposes, like, maybe she won't want to move forward, aka, I don't want this coming back to me. So the scene ends with them eating their breakfast. But the only thing worth mentioning is that I keep forgetting, and it seems like Joel and Slackjaw also do keep forgetting, that Natalia's mom is there. She has completely finished her breakfast and is just sitting there like, Is anybody going to acknowledge or talk to me at all? Anybody? No. Just sitting there like a houseplant. And then out of nowhere, shit really gets to popping. We see Joel. He's like kind of trying to grab Natalia's phone, or we find out later it's actually his phone. He's in the kitchen, right? And the translator's saying, "You told me that you were no longer on a dating site, but I can see that you are still." So Joel tries to be like, "No, but clearly something is going on, because Slackjaw is on the other side of the island next to Joel, swaying side to side. She's looking pretty surly." Natalia says in a confessional that when Garrick first asked her to date him, he was the one who told her, "I'm going to get off all the dating apps." And she says, "Not only did I not ask him to do that, I didn't even think or know that he was on multiple dating platforms in the first place. Much less that he was like, oh, I vow to get off of them." So then he, oh my God, a hair fell down my face and I was like, oh my God, don't panic. This could be a spider and you just can't see it. Finally, it's a hair. Thank God. Whew, okay. So I was really going through it there for a second. I lost myself. Okay. So he's like lying to her, basically saying like, oh, you know, what's going on here? You know, he's taking out his phone, or she explains to us that she took out Garrick's phone to use the translator app to tell him something. She saw a notification pop up on his phone and noticed it was from a dating app. So she confronted him about it. And she says, again, you're the one who brought up deleting all of your apps in the first place. So I'm kind of upset that you would like make this big show out of being a great man and then still like behind my back have them up and running and active, right? So now Danielle's got all the ammo she needs to make it his fault, right? And sow discord with Natalia. So she's like, oh yeah, you're definitely still on that dating app. You know that people can still see your profile, right? You knew that, right? And Joel keeps pointing at his phone and he's like, no, they can't message me though. And Danielle goes, yeah, they can. And you knew that people could still see your profile. And Joel's like, oh, gee. So Natalia shows him his phone. She's clicking away being like, sir, I can see all these apps. I can see that whatever security checkpoints that you're claiming that you put on don't exist. Don't play me, sir. I'm Gen Z. Okay? I'm not stupid. Okay? And then, like, hello, she just passed the bar, did she not? Like, y'all really think this bitch is dumb. So then basically in a confessional, Joel's in his tank top. He's sweating, right? Like, I'm not really sure what to do. I mean, I'm being cornered by these two women and they are livid. This is not a comfortable situation. And I'm like ignoring it or trying to ignore it and just make dinner. Like he was trying to chop like tomatoes or something right there. I don't even know what to say. So then he lies again and says, well, I didn't know that you could interact with people. And Danielle goes, but they can still like you. And Joel goes, yeah, well, yeah, but that's why I said I should delete the app. And then Danielle is able to pivot this into another situation. And she says to him, I actually asked you to delete that app months ago and you wouldn't do it. And Joel goes, did I say that? Did I say that I wouldn't do it? And she goes, yeah. And when I asked you to, you were like, why? We're going to be searching for wives. But now you're telling her, oh, no problem, I'll delete it. And then her jaw really gets to slacken, but like in an angry way. This is an angry slack. So then Joel's like, well, I didn't disagree with you, but you know, if we delete the app, I asked you, like, would it delete all of our information? And Daniel goes, no, you did disagree with me. And I told you that it will delete all the information if you delete the app and that we could just make a new profile when we start searching for a wife again. So then Natalia gets tapped in, right? And is like, what's going on? Because she's, you know, she's not fully understanding. So like, excuse me, translator, please. What's going on with you two? So in a confessional, Danielle tells us that she told Garrick to delete those dating apps back in Colorado, and he didn't want to do it and disagreed with her. But oh, well, look at it. As soon as Natalia says it, it's no problem. And it's like, what? So then she starts crying. Well, she keeps crying. She had been crying this whole time and says, you know, it just feels like a huge lack of respect and it doesn't feel good at all. So then she like hands Natalia the phone because she's been giving her the tea through the translator app and is like, Natalia's reading furiously like what they were just talking about. While she's reading it, Danielle and Joel are kind of like going at it with each other, right? And Danielle's like holding on to this. Well, why is it that when I asked you months ago to delete the app, you didn't want to do it, but like as soon as she suggested it, it's like, you know, whatever. And Joel's like, well, I should have done it then. Duh, bitch. And then Danielle says in a confessional, we've been together for so long, and I just literally said the same thing. Like, my heart is breaking in this moment. I'm so hurt. And then Joel says, well, I wasn't even getting on there and doing anything. And Danielle looks at him and goes, yes, you were. You were searching all the time. That's a lie. And Joel says, no, that's a lie. It's an absolute complete lie. And now she's livid, livid jaw mode. And she goes, so you don't look and see who looked at you. And he says, no, I get messages and it tells me if somebody liked me, but I don't go on there. And then she goes, so you don't look at new people. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. And then we end yet another episode of Seeking Sister Wife with Danielle standing and alone in a confessional in some gorgeous resort in Mexico, crying and looking off in the distance at what I can only imagine is her life flashing before her eyes. And then she says, it just makes me question where him and I are at. So, oh God, I cannot believe this show. It just gets better and better. And I love it. And I love it. And thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. We'll talk soon. Love you. Bye.